Hello and welcome back to another episode of Inside the Asperger Studios. Have you ever had a child who's struggling in school and you didn't know what to do? Well, my next guest, Andrea Pollock, left her successful job, homeschooled her kid. Now she's helping many more parents and children on the autistic spectrum. So sit back, relax, and grab your favorite beverage, and I'll see you on the other side. Hello and welcome back to another episode of Inside the Asperger Studios. Today I'm joined with Andrea Pollock. Welcome to the show, Andrea.
Thank you. So nice to be here, and thank you for having me.
Not a problem. Now, I usually like to ask my guests, so tell me about yourself.
Okay. I am the mother of a 24-year-old young man with autism, and I was a lawyer for 19 years. And when he was a youngster, I couldn't find a school that could really serve him, so I left that career after 19 years, and I homeschooled him. I did that for 8 years, and after 8 years, he was ready to go back to school. So I also chose to go back to school and got my master's in education because I wanted to be able to share what I had learned over the course of those 8 years with other parents, and I wanted to be able to share it most effectively. So I earned my master's, and then I started an organization, Autism Parent Solutions, to help parents learn parenting skills and mindset support. And I do education and coaching for parents.
All right. What was it like leaving your job to help your son?
Well, I mean, at first it was a little scary. I really loved my career, honestly. So, it wasn't really in the plans to leave that, but I saw that he needed something different. And there were a lot of lawyers, and he only had one mom. So it was a no-brainer from that perspective. But I also had no idea what I was doing. So I had to learn a lot quickly to be able to help and support him.
All right. Now, what made you realize your son was autistic to the point that you had to have had him tested at the age of two?
It was interesting. He was one of those kids who he developed pretty typically, and he spoke and he was interactive. And just before the age of two, his language stopped developing, and he stopped making eye contact as much. And I knew there was something going on. And it was interesting because the first person I took him to said, "Oh, he's not autistic." He gave him some tests, and he said, "Oh, he might be a genius, but he's not autistic." And I thought, "Oh my gosh, I'm being neurotic." And then I went home, and a few weeks later, I was like, "No, I'm not being neurotic. There's something going on here." So then we followed through with the whole testing process.
All right. So what is a typical day like for you?
Well, now that he's 24, I don't have, the daily care of him. So, back in the day when I was homeschooling, we did it for 8 hours a day, 7 days a week, and I had a lot of support. I had a lot of people who came in and helped, and I was very fortunate, and then I did have a lot of support. But everybody had a 2 hour session, and I had at least one 2 hour session each day. And we just kept, playing with him. We were trying to get him to want to relate and communicate with us. Because when he was in school, he's so sensitive. His sensory system is so sensitive. And he just kept withdrawing further and further into himself. So to invite him to come out, we just had to be, soft and gentle and playful and fun. So that's where we started.
All right. What kind of sensory issues does he have?
Well, his hearing is certainly very, very sensitive. He walks around a lot with his hands over his ears to protect himself. Not only is the hearing overwhelming, but I think the any sudden noise really just gets his heart palpitating. So that's a big one. I would say that's probably the biggest one. I mean, he has certain, visual stims that he really enjoys. He likes to pour water and watch it out the side of his eye. And that's a, I think it was a sensory related thing. But yeah, he's he doesn't feel pain quite as quite as strongly as I do, for example. So that's another issue that's probably sensory related.
All right. Has he tried headphones?
Uses headphones a lot.
All
He
right.
in fact, it was very cute. When he went back to school, he was in eighth grade when he started, and then when he got to high school, they had dances at his high school. And he really wanted to go to the dance, but between the lights that were going to be flashing and the loud noise, it was a real, decision whether he thought he could handle it. So he went into that dance with his headphones proudly on his ears, and he stood in the back in the corner and loved every minute.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah.
Now, do you have any memorable stories you can share with about him?
Wow, I have so many memorable stories. Some of them were surprising moments. So he, what happened? So he developed typically in terms of his language and then lost it all. And then
Wow.
he, yeah. And then he really didn't speak again intelligibly till about seven. He had some words, but they were more word approximations. They weren't real words. But I could understand some of what he was saying, but nobody else could. But every once in a while, he would come out with something. So I don't know why this story just flashed into my head, but one day my parents had traveled to see us and we were having lunch together. And, Matthew was never really one for sitting at the table really lo for a long time. So, we let him go around, do his thing. And he came over and he went to pick a piece of food off of my mother's plate, which, I was like cool with it, but she was very rule bound. And she said to him, Matthew, like she was, stern. She said, what's the magic word? And she was looking for thank you. And he goes, abracadabra. Like, where did he get that? At the time, he and I had explained to her that we weren't using words like thank you because they weren't functional. Like they not that we didn't want to get there eventually, but they weren't going to, I wanted him to say things like drink and eat and sleep and things that were going to help him get more of what he wanted. So I had already explained to her that like thank you was that we weren't a, we didn't have a big, push on thank you. And she nevertheless, she couldn't help herself. She wanted, what's the magic word? And I just couldn't believe it. So there were just so many moments like that where he would come up with something that nobody knew he knew. Here's another one. This is an amazing one. I had a teacher who was part of the program. She came to the house a couple days a week for a 2-hour session each day. And one of the things he loves is he loves magazines and books. And he would pile them up on a big chair. And he would then pull out like the from like there would be 100 stacked, and he'd pull out the one he exact one he wanted. So one day he pulled out this, it's called like an encyclopedia of a million things. And he opened it to the page showing a pregnant woman, but like with a side view, like showing like you could see the baby inside curled up, like it was showing you what a baby looked like inside. And he brought it over to her and was pointing at it. And she was trying to engage him in conversation. And he kept just saying, baby, and then touching her stomach. And she came out that day and she said, I am so freaked out. She said, I am pregnant. I haven't told anyone yet. Seemed to
Wow,
know.
he seemed to have some kind of insight. And he's got a very insightful knowing. I mean, something inside his head that she looks different, and it is either he could have went the opposite way and said she was fat,
But she
but
didn't even look different. I looked at her. She didn't look anything to me. But somehow he had a higher sensitivity to something than
yeah, I
I
mean
did.
that is amazing that he would know that.
So I mean, to me, the broad takeaway from that kind of thing, or even the abracadabra story, is, we just can't underestimate our kids, right? They know so much. Just because they can't show us in the way we want to be shown what they know, doesn't mean they don't know it. Doesn't mean there's not, just a tremendous amount of knowledge and wisdom in there.
All right. Now, when did you decide you wanted to help other parents and those are other autistics?
When we were in the last year of homeschooling, I knew that I
Mm-hmm.
was about to be fired from my day job because I was going to send him to school. And I really wanted to think about what's next. And I definitely could have gone back to practicing law, but I just found the whole, the whole experience of homeschooling him, so incredible, including all of the trial and error and failure and tears. And, it wasn't, I'm not saying it was like an amazing, easy experience, not at all. I really, I had to grow a lot to be able to do that. And I realized that if I took that all with me and went to do something else, that, that was a shame if all of us were separately doing that, right? All the parents. And I just knew that I could spare parents so much struggle, so much, because I felt like I got where I needed to go, but it took me a very long time, right? And I knew I could help parents get there faster and enjoy more of the time. So
All right.
in that moment, I decided I have to really figure out a way to share this and share it in a way that's impactful and, powerful for parents.
Now, how is he doing in school?
Today he's doing great. He still has some high support needs, but one of the things that I'm really so happy about that I think was the result of us taking that detour and homeschooling and then taking it from there is he loves people, he's interactive, he trusts people, and he's so happy. And he's confident. I mean, he thinks he has all that in a bag of chips. Like he just thinks he's pretty great because we're constantly focusing on setting him up for success. So he experienced like success after success after success, which is what builds self-esteem, right? So instead of having him struggle and struggle and fail, which can be very, damaging to a kid. He grew up in an environment where he just thought, I've got this. I'm pretty great. So, as a result, he's the kid who everybody falls in love with, right? He's lovable. He loves people. He's interactive. He does have language. He can talk, but he's not like a big conversationalist, but he can get the job done.
Has he made friends yet?
Absolutely. He has a bunch of friends. They're all different ages. One of his best friends is 70, and he's currently living in a home with some support with some other friends, and she just adores him and he adores her, and he doesn't care that she's older, and yeah, they like some of the same things. They like some of the same TV, So, yeah, he has a bunch of friends, a lot of same age friends as well, of course, but
Now, I take it you created an IEP for him before he went into high school.
yes, we did do that.
All right.
I was so happy after, after we homeschooled him, we were able to find a school that is so amazing, honestly. And they really were able to see his strengths and work with his strengths. And it wasn't all about here are all the shortcomings and we're going to just focus on that. Of course, we had to recognize those, and that was important. I'm not saying we shouldn't, but they continued the path that we had been on of really helping him feel successful, but not making it easy, right? We wanted him to grow, so it wasn't like every day was a success. He experienced, challenging moments, but he was always willing to try because he always believed he was going to succeed.
Now, on your website, you mentioned you tried different therapies. Did you ever try ABA?
We did try ABA early on, but also remember that was 20 years ago. So, I think ABA has evolved a lot since then, but it was not a good fit for him at the
All
time.
right.
I do think it can, there are elements of it that can be well done. I'm not against anything in particular, but for him, there was, it felt like for him, there was like an agenda being forced on him. And he was like, I'm not having any of this. You can't make me. That was sort of his attitude. So we weren't getting anywhere. And it
Yeah.
wasn't right. And it didn't feel good at the time. So,
All right.
but I know that today there's, it's so much more evolved and developed, and it can be so helpful for children.
So when he got into high school, how did he adjust with all the new settings of having people of all ages teach, having actual classes where you're in the classroom where you got to focus? Because I remember when I was in high school, it was always teachers calling my house and it would be, Reed can't focus, Reed can't sit still, Reed can't pay attention until one class. And it was like, you won't believe this. He's sitting still, he's focusing, and he's paying attention. And it was my general science class.
Right. Of course, you loved it, so you were able to focus much better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, for him, so he was in a special ed school. So he was, so they were very knowledgeable about why he was the way he was, what to do about it, right? So they weren't judging him ever. That was very important for me because he didn't have that experience because he was in this special environment. But interesting, so he so when he first started, he was in eighth grade, so that was a middle school class, and they had him repeat eighth grade because it did take him quite a while to get in tune with being in a school environment. There's this one story I remember, it just almost, I'm gonna try not to get choked up when I tell it, but there was one day that, and the teacher just repeated this story to me offhand, and I don't think she had any idea how meaningful it was to me. But she said the children were all sitting in the class, and she said, okay, everybody, time to go get your lunches. And he looked at her and he pointed to himself. She said, as if to ask, am I a part of everybody? I thought, oh my gosh, the first
Aww.
time he's a part of everybody, right? But it just shows you how much he had to learn to be in that environment,
Yeah, I mean
And yeah, go ahead.
it's hard. I mean, when you're going from homeschooling to being in a whole school setting, it's like you're thrown into the deep end and you gotta learn to swim.
Yeah, but they were very, very supportive of that. And, the whole last year that I homeschooled, we did work a lot on some of the prerequisites, like sitting at the desk, right? Because before that, we had a lot of sort of free form education, but we talk, we had to teach him that. I actually, here's another funny story about him. I was trying to teach him to do worksheets because he had never done worksheets. That just wasn't something we did at home, but he was going to have to do things like that at school. So I gave him like really simple worksheets so that he could, work on the process of doing worksheets, right? And not the content, because the content was simple, right? So I didn't want to have two hurdles at the same time. So on one of these worksheets, so he gets the sheet, he writes his name. And the first question is, which one of these items is a square? And you're supposed to put a circle around that item. And so there was an ice cream cone, a napkin, a box of some sort, just a whole, an ice cream container. So he looks at the whole thing, and there was one square, and he circles it. And I said, okay, that was great. I said, but let's go through and just like figure this out. So, all right, what is this? He said, it's an ice cream cone. And I said, right, and that's not a square. But what about this one? I was pointing to the napkin. And he said that, I said, isn't that a square? He said, no. I said, well, what is it? He goes, it's a napkin. He's so literal, right? And I was like, you're right. The question is wrong. The question should be, Which of these is in the shape of a square? Not which one of these is a square. He was absolutely right. So that was one of the, another one of those Matthew stories.
I mean, that reminds me of a story. I went to a podcast conference and I met this guy who was living with his girlfriend, who his son was autistic. And he said something about he talks. He's like, "What are we going to do?" And he's like, "Well, we're going to play everything by ear." And he just looks at him. He's like, "What do you mean, play it by ear? Our minds think so differently. We, as my mom puts it, we think in black and white. There is
Right.
no middle ground, no gray. It's
Right.
either right or wrong."
But what's interesting about it is, in the example I gave, he wasn't wrong, right?
No.
The question was, which one of these is a square? And there was only one square there. Just the napkin was in the shape of a square.
Yeah. I mean, in all essence, it's the wording that f I think that throws us off, because our minds don't go to, okay, are they being literal or are they being more figurative?
Right. And it's not fair that just because more people would look at it one way doesn't mean that the other way is wrong, right? So
You're
that's an
right.
interesting, we all have to keep an open mind as to what things mean.
Now, has he found his special interest yet?
He has a number of special interests. He loves anything to do with water. So he just, I'm sure that he's doing like really interesting calculations about speed of water and the sound of water and like the, he used to be able to fling when he was quite young. He would like have a glass and there'd be a bucket and he'd fling water, and he would fling it until the water just was at the top. It never went over. Like, I don't know how he knew how to, like, if I did that, first of all, it would splash everywhere, and I couldn't calculate with my eyes how much water would be left to fill the bucket. And he could do that like with 100% accuracy. That's one thing. He loves like sorting and categorizing. So he loves recycling. That's a passion for him, which is quite convenient because he likes to help take out all the garbage and the recycling. That's really nice. And yeah, he has a lot of interests. But
Does he
when
have
he's
any?
interested, he's passionately interested, right? It's not like you said, it's special in the way it emerges for him.
Does he have any hobbies that he likes to do?
He likes to listen to classical music. And his favorite thing is really though is to go to the beach, which having been raised in New York City, he didn't get to do that often, but we're now living in Florida with him, and he gets to go to the beach a lot. So that would say that's his favorite thing to do.
All right. Can you tell me what's the most rewarding thing about what you're doing now?
Yeah, well, watching the transformation that happens for parents and for their relationship with their child. Because most of the parents, when they come to me, one of the things I love is that they're very loving and they want to do the right thing, but they're parenting in most cases the way they were raised, right? So when their child doesn't do something that they want them to do, they yell at them. And the first thing we work on is perspective, right? Helping them see that that's never going to teach the child the skill that they need to be able to do the thing they're not doing. So we help them shift that perspective, and then we teach them how to set them up for success. Like I talked about with Matthew, right? Like, so we want to meet them where they are and then raise the bar like a little, but in increments that they can tolerate, right? When we set a bar that's way too high, we're setting them up for failure, and then that doesn't feel good to anyone. But watching the transformation, it happens rapidly once they embrace the new perspective and start teaching them in small steps, and the small steps add up to really big gains really quickly. And it's just so exciting, and they feel closer than ever to their children, And I just really love to watch that.
Cool. Now, does Matthew know what he wants to do after he's done, like, with college? Does he have, like, a profession in mind?
You know, it's hard to say. He's not in college. He's in a more of a, a school-based job preparation kind of program.
All right.
He has had some jobs and does have some jobs. I don't know that he has a big perspective. He, like I said, he still has some pretty high support needs. But honestly, I think if he could, his dream job would be to put things on shelves at Trader Joe's. Trader Joe's is like one of his favorite stores. And when he sees somebody putting things on the shelves, he just is like a magnet. He wants to watch, he wants to help. If he sees something that's disorganized, he organizes it on the shelf. So I think if he had a dream job, that would be it. And, I don't see why that's not possible for him.
All right. How is he doing now? I mean, he's obviously in school. How is he with his classes? Is he enjoying them? Is he understanding what's being taught to him?
He is. I mean, what I'm excited about and what I try to tell parents, because a lot of times they come to me, their children are younger, that there's it doesn't stop. He's 24, he's learning all the time. He's learning new things, he's learning new skills, he's maturing, and he's doing really well. He's it's always a journey of it's a lot of things, right? He's learning information certainly, but it's also all of the skills and all of the how to put it all together, how to be his best self in, as a citizen in society. So he's working on all those things and he's doing great.
Now, does he have ADHD as well?
He's never been officially diagnosed with that, but certainly attention has always been a very serious issue, unless it's something he absolutely loves. Then he could pay attention to it for 10 hours at a time. But
All
most of
right.
the time, it's a very serious issue for him. And impulsivity, all of the things that also, they the things that ADHD and autism have in common, he has a lot of those.
Now let's go back to homeschooling for a minute.
Sure.
How did you choose the teachers for him? I mean, did you have a criteria in mind? Were they teachers who knew how to deal with those who were autistic, or were they just regular teachers?
That's such a great question. It was a combination. It was there were some people, some teachers, there were some ABA teachers actually, and the criteria there was that they had to be open to trying a new way, that we were absolutely going to look at his education with a new perspective. It was going to be not about forcing him to do anything, but about getting him to come along with us. And to do that, we had to be really fun. We couldn't be, we had to be fun and creative, which actually, the teachers liked, right? They liked that freedom. So that was criteria for some of those people. I had two actors on my team, and they were amazing, right? They were creative and vibrant, and Matthew loved being with them. I had a friend of mine who was a lawyer who worked with him as well. So we trained everybody in the same types of methodologies. And then we had team meetings every other week. I gave them feedback once a week. And we just tried to keep it moving the best we could. And if but if somebody wasn't a good fit, we nicely discussed why it wasn't a good fit, and we moved on.
Now, how did you feel when you sent them off to school? It had to be kind of like a sad, kind of melancholy moment for you, because here you are sending your boy off to school. You're no longer the teacher. You're putting your trust in the school system.
You're right. Oh my gosh, you capture that perfectly, right? I think for the first month probably I sat by the phone, like just waiting because I was sure that something was going to go terribly wrong. The day before his first day of school, I called and I asked if I could bring him to the school so he could see it, because I didn't, you know, I didn't, I was going to bring him to his first day of school. I wasn't going to send him on a bus. Eventually I did, but I was going to bring him anyway, but I didn't want him to see it with everybody in there and all the noise and hubbub. And they were like, sure, that would be great. So I bring him to the school and we walk in and the head of the school is standing there. And he said, come on, Matthew, let me show you your classroom. And Matthew goes off with him. He goes like right up the stairs. I'm like, but, like, what? I thought he was going to be like timid and want me to come with him. And he was like, see ya. So he was really ready.
How does he handle? I mean, he the noise. I mean, of course, you have the school bells ringing for class. You have noise of the hallways with the kids going to and from. How does he handle all that? I mean, because it's got to be a lot of sensory coming at you.
Yes, and it was very different from being home one-on-one with a teacher. But again, the school was really knowledgeable about children like Matthew at the time. They always had a pair of headphones handy if it was seeming too much for him. But the really interesting thing was that he was so ready to be social that he made himself tolerate the sensory piece in order to be with other people. He was so ready to be social with peers. And that's why I sent him back when I did, because, you know, I was loving it. Now I had it all dialed in. I knew how to do it. I knew we were making progress, but I couldn't create that social environment for him that he needed to get in school. So he was ready for it. And it was so interesting. I could see him, you know, making the choice to tolerate some of the sensory overload in order to be around peers.
Now, does he mask or does he just show people who he is? I mean, I believe we shouldn't have to mask to show the world who we are, that everyone should accept us for who we are, because we're unique. Why hide that?
I agree with you completely. I think, I don't think he masks. I don't think he's aware that people do that. I don't think he thinks he should necessarily. Again, I think it goes back to his level of need, right? He's not as, you know, entirely knowledgeable about the way things should be.
Right.
You know, so, and again, like back to like, he really thinks he's pretty great. So he doesn't see the need. But I'll give you another example of that. Like, so he, you know, where we live now, he can go to the beach and he comes in the side door where there's a, and he showers, he does everything and he can do all that independently and he takes off his bathing suit and he takes his bathing suit, you know, to the laundry room by himself and washes it and hangs it on that. So all that's all great. But he walks across from one side of the house to the other, like naked. Like, dude, you can't do that. Like, no, sorry, like not okay. So I said, you have to put your towel around you. And he's like, okay. So the next day he comes out and his towel is around his neck. Because I said, you have to put your towel around you. And he's still naked on the bottom. I was like, okay, again, I probably need, but he didn't, like, it didn't occur to him that there was any problem with this. He just was who he was. And then again, it was also a problem of I wasn't specific enough about what putting your towel around you meant.
Has he joined any clubs?
You know, he participates with a group and they do things like they go, it was a lot different before COVID was actually, you know, like so now it's sort of starting to get back because that was an issue. But you know, they will go out to a meal on the weekend or go bowling on a weeknight. So he does have the opportunity to engage in those kinds of social activities and he loves it.
Right. Now, is he part of any of the schools, clubs, or societies or thing like swimming, part of the swim team, or part of any of the sporting teams?
The school where he is, they don't really have that. It's not really big enough to
All right.
support that. When he was in high school, the high school was big enough for that. And yeah, we tried everything. He did, we did softball for a while. And he was very distracted by other things, so that wasn't a big success. And then we did track, and which is funny because he loves to run. So this was funny. One day, so they had a track meet. I went to the track meet, and it was, we lived in the city, and it was in Brooklyn. It was really far, and we had to take the subway and the whole thing. So it was his turn to race, and they start the race with a gun. Well, he freaked out. He was like, no, and he couldn't do it. So finally, like somebody went and like sort of helped him, and he finally did it. It was fine. And then it was time to go. And he starts running to the subway and I can't catch up with him. I'm like, now you're running? Are you kidding? Like, because he's so, that's why I thought track would be great for him because he's so fast and he's a good runner. And, but when it was in the race, it was, I think the sound of the starting gun was shocking, so he couldn't really do it in that moment. And then, like I said, I could not keep up with him. We're running to the subway. I'm like, wait for me. But yeah, we did try. We tried a lot of those things, and I think again, he enjoyed the social piece. Some of the sports, that's okay. We just worth trying.
Now, how is he with like traveling around on his own?
We haven't really gotten to that point yet. Again, he's somewhat impulsive and sometimes in his little in his own world when he's like not paying attention to things. So I never, he knows the rules. Like if he would get to the corner, he would wait for me to cross. Like he knows how to do it, but I never got to the place where I felt that it was safe. When we go into a store, he can go on his own. I'll be like, I'll meet you in the front in 15 minutes. So he can do that. Like it's not that kind of thing he can certainly do, but out in the world, I'm not sure of that. I know a lot of parents go through that. But I was never encouraged by his teachers to be like, no, you have to lighten up. You have to let him do it. None of them ever said that.
That's good.
So yeah. So I felt like, yeah, I was probably okay still keeping an eye on him.
And finally, where can people find out more about you and what you offer?
Thank you for asking that. I appreciate it. So,
Not a problem.
if you think you're ready for parent coaching and a parenting program where you learn parenting skills, if that sounds so great to you that you think, where do I sign up? What you can go ahead and book a call with me directly at autismparentsolutions.com/apply. That'll take you right to my calendar. But if you want to learn more about the program, more about me, the best thing to do is to go to my website, autismparentsolutions.com. If you go to the media page, you'll be able to see some of the podcasts I've been on and articles I've written, things like that. I also have a free training on my website that you can watch and learn more about, the philosophy of what I teach and, what the program is going to be about. And then you can book a call if that's interesting. So autismparentsolutions.com. And, I love the opportunity to work with parents because I know I can make life so much easier, so much sooner, right? I think parents figure it out eventually through a lot of trial and error, but I can help accelerate that process. I just am so passionate about what I do. I love it.
And that's it, ladies and gentlemen. That was Andrea Pollock. And I'll see you on the next one. See you there, everyone.
I wanna believe in the truth, but only see what I'm shown. Got the freedom to choose, but can't decide on my own. Follow what the group is thinking, bottle up my intuition till it's popping out the box that I don't fit in. I wanna believe in the truth, but only see what I'm shown. Got the freedom to choose, but can't decide on my own. Follow what the group is thinking, bottle up my intuition till it's popping out the box that I don't fit in.
Shape shifting, same player, different position. The definition could stick with them. Drifting through these layers of wisdom. I took a break from tradition, I move away from what's expected. Change the music, ride the wave, but keep the message. Question this dimension, it's still deception. Every entrance have good intentions, no exceptions, and leave the rest up to the heavens. Your only plan to be the seeker and become yourself, cause more than half would you believe it was crafted to be misleading for the benefit of someone else.
believe in the truth, but only see what I'm shown. Got the freedom to choose, but can't decide on my own. Follow what the group is thinking, bottle up my intuition till it's popping up the box that I don't fit in. I wanna believe in the truth, but only see what I'm shown. Got the freedom to choose, but can't decide on my own. Follow what the group is thinking, bottle up my intuition till it's popping up the box that I don't fit in. Hey, hey, yeah, I don't fit in.
Applause. I don't walk right into traps. While you closing in the walls, I'll be oozing out the cracks. Sit and relax, don't breathe. These are the facts. Suppose at least stutters, live in a mask. Suckers, keep moving along to the beat. Brainwash, rinse and repeat. Keep pulling about with the sheep. I'll go, God with Eve. Know what I mean? Probably not. Honesty shocks the spineless. The only box I'll ever fit in is the one that I die.
I wanna believe in the truth, but only see what I'm shown. Got the freedom to choose, but can't decide on my own. Follow what the group is thinking, bottle up my intuition. Till it's popping out the box that I don't fit in. Wanna believe in the truth, but only see what I'm shown. Got the freedom to choose, but can't decide on my own. Follow what the group is thinking, bottle up my intuition. Till it's popping out the box that I don't fit in. Hey, hey, yeah, I don't fit in. Hey, hey.